Amen.
Give me just a second to get ready here. Promotion Sunday is always a challenging lesson because you don't know how much time you're going to have to teach. I told Pastor, am I going to get 5 or 2 minutes? So 30, almost 30 is a blessing. We'll just teach it 2 or 3 times. So anyhow, this is our introduction week with the Promotion Sunday. It was a good week to do an introduction. I have a tentative schedule here on the screen. We've got Red, White, and Blue Sunday next week, so we will kind of really start in earnest next week once we get into our Lesson 1 on whole verse deletions. We're rearranged the schedule a little bit this time through. How many of you were actually in the lesson last time we taught it, about 3 or 4 years ago? So a few. How many of you were not? How many of you aren't sure? Okay, just a few. So anyhow, this is a tentative schedule. We do have another break there at the beginning of August for Rich Mitchell when he comes, but otherwise we'll be going every week on this particular topic. I will have some handouts for the weeks to come. I didn't think we necessarily needed one today. I may do them a little briefer than what we did last time, but if you still have your old material, you can bring it if you like, but it's not necessary. Everybody see that okay? In the back? Yes? That's a yes? Okay. I always try to make it big enough, but I don't know how big I can get it and everybody to see it. So we do have some goals for the series. The first one, obviously, is to strengthen our faith in the Word of God. We know that Satan has goals for each and every person here on earth, especially for even us as Christians. In Genesis 3:1, he questioned what God had said. He said, "Yea, hath God said." And then he went so far as to even deny it by saying, "Ye shall not surely die," when we know that God said we would. So Satan certainly has goals for us. Why would he have goals? Why would Satan want us not to know the Word of God? Well, certainly it would lead us into committing some sins, wouldn't it? If we didn't know the Word of God and what God had said, each and every one of us would be that much more prone to sin, as Satan deceived us. At best, we would have a very shallow faith. And just the idea of our devotion to God, to His Word, if we didn't know what the Word of God said. But God wants us to know what the Word of God says. In Ephesians 4:14, it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Satan wants to deceive us. God wants us to know His Word. He wants us to be steadfast in it. But what would life be like if we had never had a Bible? I mean, think about that for a minute. We have such a precious thing in the Word of God itself. What would life be like if you had never read the Bible? What would you believe about God? Hard to say. Probably be a huge variety out there. What about Jesus Christ? What about salvation? What would we be believing? The Word of God is precious, folks, and we need to absolutely understand that it's by the Word of God that we have understanding. There's so many false teachings that are out there today with the Bibles that are out there. Where would we be without it? What would church be like? Think about what it was like in the dark ages of history, from about 500 A.D. to about 1500 A.D. A lot of churches, people would go to church. They had no Bible of their own to read to verify what the priest was teaching them. So they'd simply go to church. They'd be taught whatever the priest felt they needed to be taught. And they would go home having to believe what they were taught, with no way to verify for themselves what God had said. Well, that, like I said, that is exactly what it was like in the dark ages. And I do plan to go into some of the Bible history that's there, but we're going to do that later in the series this time. Another goal that I have is to strengthen our faith in the King James Bible specifically. In actuality, it's one of the same as the first goal, but specifically in the King James Bible. We need to have a reason for why we as a church carry the King James Bible. It's not because the church says it's a good idea. It's not because pastor says it's a good idea. We individually need to have our own convictions of why the King James Bible is the Word of God, and to have some understanding what is wrong with all the other translations that are out there available to us. Well, does it really make a difference which Bible we believe? Absolutely it does. I have a few things listed here on the screen. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? Amen. Amen, He is. Do you believe that repentance is necessary for salvation? Absolutely, if you believe the Bible. Do you believe that the shed blood of Jesus Christ is required for the atonement of our sins? Absolutely. What about this last one? Do you believe that good works play a role in us earning our salvation? No? Why not? Because we've got the Word of God, we've studied it for ourselves, we know what it says. But everything I've got listed right there would be very easy to teach contrary to those truths with some of the modern Bibles. Because all these important doctrines that are spelled out in our Bible are weakened or outright denied by the modern Bibles themselves. And we'll be looking at that as we get into this series. Here's a few more questions. Some of you might remember some of these from last time, but I thought they were a good example, so I put them up again. What if I told you that you needed to confess your sins to a priest to be forgiven? What if I told you that musical instruments played in the church are wicked or sinful? In other words, we shouldn't be playing pianos and organs and any other instruments you could come up with. What if I told you that you needed to be baptized in the name of Jesus, not the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and you needed to speak in tongues to be saved? What if I told you that Jesus is not God? What if I told you that you needed to go to church on Saturdays to have a chance of making it to heaven? All false teachings. What if I told you that you must perform good works and maybe if you do enough, you could make it to heaven? In other words, you could earn your way to heaven. And this last one's very interesting. Men, what if I told you that when you die, you get to become gods and have your own planets and be in charge of them? And ladies, sorry, you get to be continually pregnant supplying people for your husband's planet. Not a real good job, is it? Well, the funny thing, and I'll say funny, is every one of these things are being taught in churches in our country today. Every one of these things. You say, even the last one? Absolutely, in the Mormon church. That's their true teaching, that once you die, you get to be a god of your own planet. So why would so many of these false teachings be going on when we've got the Word of God today? Why do people believe this? Well, for one thing, it's because they don't have the right Bibles. For another thing, they've been deceived by a lie by Satan. But when I say having the right Bibles, you say, do you mean you could teach all these things just by having, say, an NIV or an NRSV? What I'll tell you is that these doctrines are weakened or specifically changed in these versions that open the door for these type of false teachings right here. If I wanted to teach that Jesus Christ was not God, I would get any one of the modern translations, because as we'll see later in our series, that is one of the key doctrines that is attacked by the modern Bibles. Remember, we've got time to do this twice, so I'm going to get a drink. For this series, we're only going to be able to really touch the tip of the iceberg. There's literally just hundreds of changes, but we are going to go through and have some examples to work from. I don't know if you happen to notice the intro slide I had up there. I revised it from last time just to be a little different. But here's the slide that I had up at the beginning. And the verse in the upper right corner is new for the slide. It says in Psalms 138, verse 2, "Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." And we see throughout the modern translations the attack that's there on the deity of Christ, on repentance, on the blood, upon the word of God itself. We see in this verse, let me pull up the next slide, that God has highly exalted his word. We see in Psalms 138, verse 2, the whole verse says, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." God has truly exalted his word. That's what the Bible teaches. But what we're going to do as we go through this series is we're going to look at what the King James Bible says and what some of the other versions say of the same verses. So we're actually going to have the comparisons on the screen for you to see for yourself. And I will try as much as possible to be consistent in how I list the different versions. So as you're comparing, you'll see this for yourself. The NWT is the New World Translation. That is the Bible for the Jehovah's Witnesses. The NIV, the New International Version, Contemporary English Version, all the same. But what you're going to find is that, and I didn't put a slide on this, I meant to, but I didn't, is that there's two different families of Bibles out there. In other words, we can put the King James Bible on one side, and we can put the modern translations on the other side, and what we would find is typically the the Bibles on the King James Bible side would agree with each other because they come from the same set of early manuscripts. What we would find is that the modern Bibles typically agree with each other because they also come from a different family of manuscripts. And you know, manuscripts is kind of that mysterious word. Manuscripts is nothing more than the early Bibles that the church had. In other words, there was the original letters that, say, Paul wrote to the churches, and then it was copies of those made. Those copies are what exist today in some cases, and that's what we refer to as manuscripts. They're nothing more than the Bibles or copies of the original letters. But what we see as we go through this, let's just look at this one verse as an example today. In the King James Bible, again, it said, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." In the New World Translation, the Jehovah Witness Bible, this is actually fairly close. It says, "You have magnified your sayings even above all your name." But let's look at what some of these other modern translations have done with this verse. As an example, "You have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame." That doesn't say anything even close to what the King James Bible said. But look, the others do the same type of thing. Contemporary English Version, "You were true to your word and made yourself more famous than ever before." Nothing about exalting the Word of God. What about the NASB? "You have magnified your word according to all your name." The New Living Translation, "For your promises are backed by all the honor of your name." And the English Standard Version is a little bit closer, but it says, "You've exalted above all things your name and your word." Closer, but still not the same thing as what it says in the King James Bible, that God has truly exalted His word. And this is, like I said, I just want to put it up there and give you an idea of what we will be doing, because I want you to actually see what the other Bibles say. So we'll be doing these comparisons as we go through these different lessons. Oops, two there. So let me ask you this question. Who's got a right to make changes to Bibles? Who can add to a Bible? Who can take away? Who can change what it says? Who has that right? Deuteronomy 4:2 says, "You shall not add unto the word which I've commanded you, neither shall you diminish aught from it." Revelation 22:18-19, "If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life." So the question again is, who has a right? God has stern warnings against tampering with his word. Should parents tell their children, "This verse really doesn't belong in the Bible"? What about Sunday school teachers? Should you come to Sunday school Sunday mornings and your teacher says, "Well, this verse really was interpreted wrong. What it really should say is this"? Should teachers be doing that? I can tell you it's going on. It's going on in Baptist churches, not just other churches, where men stand up in front of a group just like yourself today and say, "This verse would have been better translated like this." And they make those changes. Should your deacons be making these changes? Should your pastors be making these changes? How about you, students? You're from a college, correct? Should your professors be standing up and saying, "You know what? A better translation would have been this. A more accurate translation would have been this"? Absolutely not. I tell you right now, no one has the authority to mess around with God's word. It's God's word given to man, not for us to tamper with it. But you know, that's exactly what you get when you pick up a modern Bible. As we go through this lesson, you're going to see that in some cases, whole verses are deleted right out of the Bibles. In some cases, they may be lopped off part of the verse, where now it just says maybe half of what it used to say. And as we've seen with the example this morning, in some cases, the meaning is completely changed because of the changes that have been put in for the Bibles. I think we all know this, but I just want to establish it, that the Bible is inspired of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." 2 Peter 1:21, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit," the Holy Ghost, excuse me. God has inspired His Word. Common phrase is, God breathed His Word. The men that were writing down these letters, we talked about Paul a moment ago, writing to one of the churches, I don't think personally, this is my opinion, he was aware, but the Holy Spirit was directing exactly what he put on those pages. When he was writing forth, the Holy Spirit was speaking through him. It says, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." But what good is it to inspire a perfect Bible and then lose it? In other words, if God did inspire those original writings, like it says he did, what good would that be if that Bible were simply lost or destroyed, never to be found again. It wouldn't be any good. We need a Bible that's not only perfect, but a Bible that's been preserved. God has promised to inspire His Word. We've seen that. God has also promised to preserve His Word, and God always keeps His promises. Here are a few verses dealing with the promise to preserve God's Word, that He would keep it. It's not up to man to permanently guard God's Word or else it gets lost somehow. God has said He would preserve it, and He has. Let's read a few of these. Psalms 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Psalms 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generation. And that includes us today. God's perfect preserved word is out there for us today. Mark 13:31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Psalms 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Finally, 1 Peter 1:23 through 25, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. God has promised to keep His word, and I'm here to tell you that He has. But here's our problem. Where is it? Where do we find the perfect word of God today? He said He inspired it. He said He would preserve it. Where do we find it? We got a few scenarios here, a few options, but there's some problems. First of all, was it preserved in the originals? The problem is there, they don't exist anymore. You cannot go today and find that letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and say, here it is. Does not exist today. What about in the ancient manuscripts that are still in existence? We talked about manuscripts. They were simply copies of the original letters. So when we say manuscripts, don't get all spooked out with that. It's just copies of Paul's letters, for examples. Here's the problem with that. First of all, you'd have to locate all the manuscript fragments that still exist today. Every manuscript that's out there is either more or less complete, depending on what it is. Some of them are just fragments like this. Some of them are several pages, depending on what you're talking about. So you need to locate all those fragments. You need to correctly pick the ones that are not, what's the word I want to use? The ones that we can trust, the ones that haven't been tampered with. Because there are manuscripts that have been changed to read what certain groups of people want them to say. Then you need to learn Hebrew for yourself. Then you need to learn Koine Greek for yourself and Aramaic. And then you need to sit down with all those manuscripts and translate it for yourself. Not very likely going to happen. Okay? Good luck just trying to find all the manuscripts, let alone doing all the translating without making one mistake. What about with the Bible translations that are existing today? Is one of those the perfect, preserved Word of God? Well, you know, I don't know if you've picked up very many different Bibles, but some of the Bibles out there actually have a section in the front of them. And it's basically from the translating committee that put the Bible together. They say, this is what we're going to tell you about our work that we did. Okay? Now, most of you would look in the front of your King James Bible and probably not find that. The original 1611 King James Bible did have it. It was literally, off the top of my head, 20 pages long. It was a very long article. You can still find that today, and I have a portion of it on our slides today. But let's look at some of the modern Bibles. What did the people who made that Bible say about their own work? The New Living Translation from the Translating Committee. We recognize that any translation of the Scriptures is subject to limitation and imperfections. That's probably not the perfect Word of God. What about the New Century Version? We acknowledge the infallibility of God's Word and yet our own human frailty. The English Standard Version. We know that no Bible translation is perfect or final. In other words, our next one won't be perfect either. Because you see final, constantly changing. The New International Version, like all translations of the Bible, made as they are by imperfect man, this one undoubtedly falls short of its goals. I don't think we'll find the perfect Bible here. when the people who put the Bibles together themselves say, you know what? We know we've got errors in there. Let's see what the King James Bible translator said. And like I told you, this is actually a very long document that I just pulled a few lines out of. It says, the Scriptures then being acknowledged to be so full and so perfect, how can we excuse ourselves of negligence if we do not study them, or curiosity if we be not content with them? The original thereof being from heaven, not from earth, the author being God, not man, the editor of the Holy Spirit, not the wit of the apostles or prophets. Ye are brought unto fountains of living water, which ye dig not. Do not cast earth into them with the Philistines, neither prefer broken pits before them with the wicked Jews. Others have labored, and you may enter into their labors, O receive not so great things in vain, O despise not so great salvation. I'm here to tell you today that the King James Bible is the perfect, inspired, preserved Word of God. Our church constitution says that very thing as well, in case you're curious. It says, we believe the King James Version is the preserved Word of God. Therefore, it shall be the official translation used by this church. I said we have some goals for the series at the beginning. A third goal here is to be a help to others. And I put this on there because I just wanted to talk about it for a moment. If you've ever dealt with somebody over an issue of, say, maybe they're in a church that teaches a false doctrine, you know it can be a very sensitive thing to go to that person and talk to them about the problems with that particular church they're in. I would also tell you that it can be a very sensitive thing to talk to somebody about the Bible issues that we're going to talk about in this series. Okay? There's a good chance wherever they go to church, their pastor uses the Bible they're carrying. A good chance that the church, their friends, their family use that same Bible they're carrying. And it's important that we share the truth with them, but we need to do it with love. We don't need to just go try to rip their lips off and say, see, this is wrong, you shouldn't be doing it. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. And that's what we need to do. How would you want somebody to approach you? And quite honestly, the things that we're going to talk about over the next several weeks, you can't deny. The changes are there. The deletions are there. You have to choose, is the King James Bible the Word of God? Or is it one of these other versions where they admit they've got problems with them, right, from the men who made the translations? Three things that will never change as we wrap up today. Number one, God Himself will never change. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ will never change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And the third thing that's never going to change is God's Word. Psalms 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'm here to tell you today that the King James Bible is the perfect, inspired, preserved Word of God. Now see, I took a half an hour. Can't do it twice. Let's have a quick word of prayer and we'll be dismissed this morning. Dear God, we do thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, that you've preserved it through the years, that we can have it here to carry, to read,